Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Interesting when someone like me in the Republican Party is controversial, when I believe this party was an umbrella party in the days of Goldwater and Reagan, and I really think there's this movement going on to take it back.
Good.
And I'm trying to. God knows I'm trying to, and there are just people that are... I don't understand why you have such a problem with being an umbrella party. Why?
If ever the devil was born...
We're just listening to the whiny voice of Minnie McCain on a hen show run by anti-male psychos, Pill Jr. attacking conservatives, calling Goldwater a large tent. Can we hear her again, the whiny voice of John McCain's daughter on the hen show? Let me hear that again.
It's interesting when someone like me in the Republican Party is controversial, when I believe this party was an umbrella party in the days of Goldwater and Reagan, and I really think there's this movement going on to take it back.
Good.
And I'm trying to.
Shut up.
I don't understand.
Shut the chick up. Get Pill Jr. off my show. Now you know why McCain lost. This is what going on in his house? The pillhead wife and Pill Jr. yakking at him? No wonder the guy lost. He was a henpecked man, and that's the end of the story. Yeah, forget about it. The country's melting down. The dictator's out of control. The professor dictator's out of control. The man never ran a hot dog stand. He's already running the banks, the credit cards, the auto companies. Okay? Dr. Do-Good. Dr. Do-Good. Everywhere you turn, devastation in the first 100 days. Every day you look up, you see the dictator growing fatter and fatter and fatter and stronger with help from the vermin in the media. The country's on the brink of collapse because of this man. The worst president in the history of the nation. Every day getting worse. Dancing with dictators. Do I have to go down the litany? I'm not going to do it for you. You know, they say living well is the best revenge. And I actually believe in that. And you look around San Francisco, I don't know. I don't see a recession. The restaurants are packed. The bars are doing good. Where's the recession? Do you see it in your city? Last night I stopped into my favorite restaurant in the world, Aliotto's. I'm not saying it because I have to. I'm saying it because I love the place. I feel good there. Best food, best seafood, nice people. I'm always comfortable in there. You couldn't get in there. I mean, I could get in there, but you couldn't. Well, you could if you called in advance. But I'm saying it was full. Everyone was happy. It was like the gold rush days. Where is the recession? I don't get it. Who's lost their job? Can anyone explain to me who the recession has hit? I don't see it. Wherever I go, everything's full. Play the whiny chick again for a minute. I got to hear it one more time before
It's very unprecedented for someone like Karl Rove or Dick Cheney to be criticizing the president. It's very unprecedented. Former vice president, you know, obviously, you know, Karl Rove. And I just, you know, my criticism
it's
is just...
Whoa. Chickadoo. That's John McCain's chickadoo daughter saying it's unpresidential. Like in a dressing room at Macy's. Trying on pointy shoes with a girlfriend. Sitting there with the America-hating, men-hating vermin there on that show. Yuck, 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 yuck. What do you mean it's unpresidential to attack a president? The guy's a psycho-liberal socialist. What should we do, sit here and watch him dismantle the country? Yakko? Play Jezebel for a minute. Don't play Jezebel. They don't even know who Jezebel is. Their wife is a Jezebel. Their daughters are Jezebels. Everyone's a Jezebel, so that's actually a compliment today. Earth Day. Yeah, Earth Day yesterday. Founded by a psychotic girl killer, Ira Einhorn. Killed his girlfriend, stuffed her in a trunk. A noted communist of his time created Earth Day. And yesterday, Obama, on his flights around America to promote Earth Day, burned more than 9,000 gallons of fuel. That's not a lot of gas, by the way, for a plane. 9,000 gallons of fuel to celebrate Earth Day. Why don't you go eat a spoonful of Earth if you love it so much? All you Earth lovers who've done nothing for the Earth in your entire life while I have, why don't you go eat a pint of dust and get back to me? The country's on the brink of collapse. The country's on the brink of collapse. Oh, I know. I know what you're going to say. Bush bankrupted America. But you don't have to tell me that. I set off the alarm bells over a year and a half ago when I called him a fiscal socialist. Bush, that is. I try to warn the country. No one listens to me. No one listens to what I say. But let me ask you some common sense, a commonsensical question. You inherit a debt of $1 trillion. So what, you fix it by increasing that to $3 trillion in debt? That's how you do it? So Dianne Feinstein, like a fat cockroach, can take $50 billion of the money and transfer it to the FDIC so her husband, Richard Blum, can get contracts for his real estate firm and go down the list of Democrats who've done that? That's how you solve a problem? Are you people crazy? You don't see what this man is doing? Took over the financial institutions. Took over the auto industry. Exactly Chavez's game plan. You have a naked Marxist running America. Oh, I know he has a booming voice from Kenya. He has a booming voice from Kenya. But if you actually look at what he's doing, man, you really ought to be frightened. This is not an American president. This is a socialist president. This country has never had a socialist president. The man from Kenya can speak real well. But if you actually look at what he's actually doing, everything he's doing is undoing what was done for the last 300 years. He's undoing our financial system. He's undoing our way of life. People are terrified of what this man might do if he is not called to task for what he is doing. Let's talk about the so-called interrogation techniques that these vermin are calling torture. It turns out that the Democrats approved all of them every step of the way because they knew the danger we were in. And they said, go ahead and waterboard Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, which apparently prevented a 9/11 on Los Angeles. How could you not understand what's going on here? Do you know who is bankrolling the calls for the torture probe? You think it's just coming from the vermin in the media? You're mistaken. They're nothing but puppets. They're puppets. The puppeteer is George Soros. The puppeteer is George Soros, the so-called Open Society Institute, which was founded by this evildoer, Soros, in 1993 to promote socialism around the world, issued an email yesterday announcing the creation of a new organization called the Commission on Accountability. And what they want is, quote, an investigation of torture and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment of detainees. Now, why would George Soros want to destroy America? Here is a man who apparently fled the Holocaust. Yes, he's Jewish. Fled the Holocaust, came to America, made a fortune, and now spends his entire fortune trying to destroy America. What do you want me to not tell you the reality of what's going on? Here's a few other stories that you won't read in your local crap newspaper. The reason they're going out of business and losing $1 million a week is because they're losing $1 million a week because you wouldn't buy that garbage. How many progressives are there in America to buy newspapers? Not enough to save the newspapers. One. Here are the headlines that I think you should know about. The so-called Attorney General of the state of California, Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown, has called Proposition 209, a law that was enacted by the people 10 years ago, unconstitutional because it doesn't allow affirmative action. Did you hear what I just said to you? The Attorney General of the state of California, who is the highest lawmaker in the state, has said that we should overturn Prop 209. He also said we should overturn the ban on gay marriage. Here is a man who is openly defying the law of his own state and the law of the people, the vote of the people. We have dictators wherever you turn. They're all communists. They're all Democrats. And they're all Democrats. And every one of them is anti-constitutional and un-American. Every one of them is working against the vote. Number two. I don't know if you can understand this one. Bank of America CEO, this guy, when I watched him, Kenneth Lewis, he looked like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. The guy looks like a Daffy Duck, doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm sure he's a typical CEO. He looks like a dingbat. He testifies today that he was told to keep quiet about the losses of the company Merrill Lynch that his company B of A was acquiring. That's right. Recently acquired transcripts of testimony from CEO Mad Hatter Kenneth Lewis said that he was pressured to keep quiet about the losses of Merrill Lynch, which B of A was buying. The purchase closed on January 1 of this year. Then it came out that Merrill lost almost $16 billion after it was bought, triggering a $20 billion government bailout by the very people who told him to shut his mouth, Geithner and Paulson. Now, why are Geithner and Paulson not in prison? Answer, because they put the stooge socialist Obama in power. You get it? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Living well is the best revenge, and talking well is the second best revenge. I'll be right back. Savage.
At that or any other briefing, and that was the only briefing that I was briefed on in that regard, we were not, I repeat, not told that waterboarding or any of these other enhanced interrogation methods were used. What they did tell us...
All right, now you know why America's wrecked. Nancy Pelosi. She didn't know nothing. Speaker of the House knew nothing about waterboarding. Well, let's go back in time for a minute. We know that George Soros wants to destroy America from within. So he's funding a demand for investigations. And as a result of the interrogation, to do a 9/11 on Los Angeles. What's wrong with you people? Are you upset over how the country has turned and why under Obama? Are you upset over anything that Obama has done and what is it? 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. New York, Tommy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Just disgusted with the way things are going. It's very depressing.
Hear that, but what is it that you don't like about this this professor and his actions? If someone were to say to you, what has the professor, the communist professor Obama, done most that you dislike, what would it be?
I would say airing our techniques on how we get information to our enemies. I mean, how worse, you know, of a position can you put us in?
In other words, he's taking the opposition team's place.
Absolutely.
In other words, he's working for the other team, in plain English.
How would you give the enemy information on how we gain information from you and expect...
Well, you wouldn't if they weren't your enemy. I mean, the giveaway was he bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia, which has never been done in history before. There's never been an American president or any other Democratic leader bowing to a king. Never.
He does the
ghetto pump with Hugo Chavez and takes an America-hating book from him. What does that say to you?
It's sad.
Sad, yeah. It's another word that starts with an S. But it's not sad. 1-800-449-8255. Well, you don't care about this. The Republicans are your hope? Are you kidding me? You think Republicans are the hope? Which Republican? John McCain? Listen to Pil Jr. now on a show, a chick show. Listen to Pil Jr.
It's interesting when someone like me in the Republican Party is controversial, when I believe this party was an umbrella party in the days of Goldwater and Reagan. And I really
I
think
can't
there's
take that chick
going
voice.
On.
Stop it. That whiny chick voice is the kind of music I hear in, like, Macy's. Like, I'm going to buy underwear or socks. It's all that whiny chick music. She's controversial? What do you think she means by a big tent? Homosexuals, that's all. What do you think the code word is? Big tent. Big tent is gay. Everything is gay. That's all that matters to them. The whole world is melting down around us. All they care about is gays being able to marry. David can marry Billy. Janie can marry Harriet. Then the world will be perfect. Morons. A nation of idiots. 30 years of drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And you got Pil Jr. attacking conservatives. And Whoopi Cushion Goldberg saying, you can come back on my show. Joe in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, pleasure to talk to you. I work in the financial service business, and this is the biggest heist in the history of the world as to what's happening.
Okay, hold on. It is. It's the largest thievery in the history of the world, but who started it?
I agree with you when you say it's the Clinton slash Bush administration.
Thank you. But it wasn't Clinton who got to the level that Bush did. It was the last 3 months of Bush, which I had warned my listeners about 6 months before. I said, this man is not through with us yet. Watch what Bush does in the last 3 months. I said that in the show, and Paulson pulled off the biggest heist in the history of the world.
And we're blind. It's amazing that the sheep are blind that Obama has picked up the perfect storm and he's taking the ball and now running with it.
But they threw him the ball. Don't you understand that he's not actually acting independently, that he is a puppet? He is a puppet. He is working for the very same paymasters that Bush danced to. Or now he's just dancing on the other side of the aisle. They're not in control of this country. They do what they're told to do. The real controllers are Goldman Sachs and groups like that who sacked America.
No question, no question.
That's why you ought to call it Goldman Sacked, because it's Goldman Sacked America.
I totally agree with you, but my question
now, look,
is...
Look, I saw this from a mile away. You remember what Paulson did overnight last November or December? It was in December when everyone was asleep on a Sunday night. He converted Goldman Sachs, his former company, into a bank so they could receive TARP money. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Paulson should be immediately arrested. He should be put in handcuffs. He should be given the perp walk, and he should be tried and indicted and tried for massive fraud.
Won't happen.
Why won't it happen?
The power.
Why won't it happen? Because they own the president. That's why it won't happen. Because they own the president, they own the Congress, they own the attorney general. That's why it won't happen. Instead, this socialist dictator turns around and says the most dangerous people in America are returning veterans with combat experience, anyone who opposes abortion, anyone who opposes illegal immigration, we're the real threat to America. In fact, his assistant attorney general doesn't know who MS-13 is. Did you hear that one? Eric Holder's assistant says, I don't know who MS-13 is. That's really amazing.
Savage.
Pacifism, socialism, chickdom. I feel like I'm living in a department store. And everywhere I turn, there's this chick whiny lezzo music. And there's no way out. The whole country is that. And the president was elected by these whiny lezzo chick types. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you have any idea that Obama doesn't know what he's doing? Or if he does know what he's doing, we're in worse shape than I fear? What upsets you about Obama's administration thus far? Why don't you let America hear from you? What is it that he has done that really troubles you? How about, let's starting at the top. Are you upset that this man is going after the CIA, not after CEOs? Now, why would George Soros tell his puppet, Obama, to attack the CIA on non-torture instead of attacking CEOs? Let's try to do this together, boys and girls. We're in a graduate seminar together, and I'm the professor of political science. You're a graduate student. And you have a puppet of George Soros, the billionaire who's manipulated world currencies for many, many decades, who has put his puppet in office. So he spends a fortune now sending out memos to little men in the media like Puffball and the others, fakers, one faker after another, and they jump to his tune, and they say, yeah, we want full disclosure. We want Bush and Cheney. We want them tortured. Oh, we want them waterboarded. Damn it, poor innocent Muslims. They tortured the Muslims. Tortured the Muslims. Protect the Muslims. Now, why would Soros have his puppet release methods of interrogating vermin like this when only three or four of them were waterboarded, by the way, and one of them, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, gave up his ideas for crashing planes into towers, the Sears Tower, I believe, one of the towers in Los Angeles. How come that's not discussed? So think about it, boys and girls. Why would George Soros, money manipulator, money changer, the temple of democracy, why would he want America's media to focus on the CIA instead of on the CEOs. Why would Soros want the CIA running defensively instead of exposing the CEOs? Well, boys and girls, I'll give you the answer to this seminar question right now. It's because Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary, Geithner, the current Boy Scouter, knows nothing, this new little puppet, and all of the others answer to him. They answer to him because they all answer to the money, nothing else. Since he is one of the richest men in the world, and he lives on insider information, in my opinion, how else to get insider information than through the people who run the U.S. Treasury? So how do you get someone into the U.S. Treasury? You put him there, and then you have him do things like this. So now, instead of having the country focused on Paulson and Geithner and Bernanke and the other jerks in the Federal Reserve and the Obama administration, you focus on the CIA and what they did to protect America and twist it and pervert it into saying that what they did was illegal, immoral, and fattening. Now you go to the next level of discussion on this. This is all opinion, by the way. This is just one man's opinion. Just telling you what I think. There is only one way for the CIA to come out of this and to protect themselves and us. And I know they're listening to the show. They better be listening to the show. There better be a few operatives in the CIA listening to my show because I can outthink most of you. I can say that again. I can outthink most of you because I'm not bound by your rules of what you're allowed to think and not think. There's only one way for you to save yourself and save the agency that we all need. And that is to investigate Soros. Now, I'm going to go to the next step. My suspicion is that the NSA caught Soros in some conversations, or the CIA caught Soros or the other money men in conversations, and they are now attacking the CIA in order to get them off their back. This is a political battle going on. It's a battle for the life of America. Everything is at stake. If the CIA falls, the nation falls with it. If the CEOs who are robbing America are put in orange jumpsuits, America is saved. If the money changer, Soros, is finally trapped in one of his manipulations, America is better, not worse for it. And so therefore I go back, why is this administration, the puppet Obama, attacking the CIA, not the CEOs? Answer, because the CEOs owe him, and he owes them an awful lot. In other words, he owes the CEOs. He doesn't owe the CIA. Let's put it to you that way. And I say there's another subtext that I think is possible, and that is that the CIA or the NSA on some intercepts caught Soros and or Paulson and or some of the mega billionaires of this world manipulating this country, manipulating the banks, manipulating the financial systems, and they have told them that they're going to pull the hammer on them, and they're fighting back by going after the CIA and trying to get the people of the CIA, mainly Bush and Cheney and the others, in trouble in order to get them off the track of the CEOs and the money manipulators who have done this to us. You understand that? Make no mistake about it. When you see $2 trillion written off for programs that don't exist, when you see Dianne Feinstein, a U.S. senator, taking $50 billion of your money in a time of recession and assigning it to the FDIC, just about the same time that her husband, Richard Blum, and his real estate firm get a contract to sell foreclosed properties from the FDIC, and not one word of it is heard about in the media outside of a few talk radio outlets which they want to close down, then you understand where the truth lies. So I'll let you decide for yourself. I'll let you decide for yourself. You make the decision. Luckily, I have no power. Luckily, I am unknown. Luckily, I am the Sami Sat of the United States of America today. I am the underground press. I am the underground press in America. There is no other underground press in the radio media. There's plenty of it in the internet, thank God. There's plenty of it in the internet, thank God. That's the underground press of the Soviet era, where they can say things quietly and secretly. But in radio, I want you to understand something. My show is the third largest in the country. I am not syndicated by any of the major corporate entities, thank God. The others are. And those corporate entities are bankrupt, incidentally. It's only a matter of time until they fall. My syndicator is an independent operator who does not answer to anyone but the marketplace. Do you understand why I am never seen on television? Do you understand why I'm never referred to in any of the print media? I don't need them. They need me. Make no mistake about it. I'll be around here long after they are. I promise you that. I see the handwriting on the wall. I told you I would outlive some of the newspapers. I told you the day would come that I'd be on the air and the local newspapers that I was exposing 15 years ago would be out of business, and they are. They're going out of business. The local San Francisco paper losing $1 million a week, they're going to be gone. They're going to be sitting in the cafes collecting crazy checks, talking about the evils of the CIA. They're going to be collecting crazy checks, SDSI checks, and taking medication and talking about the evil Republicans who oppose homosexual marriage. But I'll still be here. I'll still be here. Now, that's my theory. What's yours? What are you the most upset about? What most upsets you about what Obama's done today? Can anyone explain that? 1-800-449-825 at michaelsavage.com. San Diego, Michael, you go first.
Dr. Savage, it is a privilege to listen to you. I've been an avid reader and listener for years now, and I'm a Marine from Camp Pendleton. I just got back from my second deployment 3 weeks ago, and I'm just appalled and horrified what I've come back to.
Well, that's right. You're on a terrorist watch list. The radical feminist beast from hell, Janet Napolitano, the Janet Reno of our time, has made you the top most wanted in America.
It's absolutely awful. I've told my family and my friends and my coworkers that apparently I'm the greatest threat to America. Despite serving two tours in Iraq, I've lost friends. I've lost other family members to this war on terror, and I've been to Iraq.
Michael, are you a white male as well?
I am.
Well, you see, you're on the wanted list now.
Clearly, I guess I'm the greatest.
Michael, let me explain something to you. I filed a lawsuit against Janet Napolitano of Department of Homeland Security with the help of the Thomas More Law Center. We are demanding a disclosure of all the names on the list. Are you aware of that, Michael?
I am.
I have also filed another lawsuit for a Freedom of Information request from Janet Napolitano, demanding a list of the names that she has on her little Madame Defarge list. We're not taking this laying down, Michael, because when I get that list, we're going to put people in jail if we can. Because if they violated our civil rights, if they violated our privacy, if they violated our human rights, if they violated the Constitution, I will go after them with every dime that I have and make sure they go to jail. Never mind the CIA memos. I want Janet Napolitano in jail. I want the person who wrote those memos calling you a terrorist threat in jail. They're the un-Americans.
Dr. Savage, you have no idea how much I appreciate hearing that. My coworkers and I, we'd like to know that for once there actually is somebody out there who's willing to fight for the rights that we try to fight.
That's correct. All it takes for, you know the old statement, all it takes for tyranny to thrive is for good men to do nothing. You've heard that one, Michael. That's why you went in the Marines. You were one of the good and one of the few. And it takes a lot more than hot air on talk radio to go after a corrupt, rotten government. And that's what I'm doing. I put my body on the line. I put my money on the line. I sent $50,000 of my own money this week, and they didn't ask me for it. And I did so as an example to everyone listening to this show. Mark that down. Put it down. See if that winds up in the reports about Michael Savage. See if anybody puts that down. Unlike the blowhard with golf clubs, unlike the man with fat thighs who did nothing but bang walls all his life and now pretends to be a great Republican, unlike the screaming lawyer on the same network, a hysterical shill, I put my own money on the line. That's what needs to be done. It's time to fight back. And the reason they can't do it is because they work for corporate entities who would say to them, don't do it. Hush, hush, my darling. Don't you dare bring a lawsuit, they would say to the golfer, to the wall banger, and to the shill. Don't do it because we're a corporate entity who needs the help of the government. We need Obama to help us. Don't you dare attack any of Obama's minions. I was not told that by my syndicator. He didn't care. He didn't ask me. He didn't tell me. That's the beauty of being independent in a world dominated by corporate interests. Make no mistake about it. These large corporations who control the golfer, the wall banger, and the shrill, they do not want to rock the boat with Obama. They're faking it. It's a charade. It's shadows on the wall. Because they need the favors of the Obama administration to survive. Thank you. I'll be back. Savage. Obama smile with dictators? Why does Obama bow to kings? Why? Well, I think if you looked at the man's background as a far-left professor, his sitting in the church of an America white-hating pastor, Reverend Wright, and don't overlook that. A man is as much what he hears and believes as what he is himself. He becomes what he listens to. He sat in that church for 20 years. We warned you that he obviously took it all in like a sponge. He could have walked out at any time and never gone back. He could have gone to a mainstream church, but he sat there. I'm not going to replay Reverend Wright's broadsides against white America. I tried to do it before the election, and I was making headway with it, as were many others in the radio business. But John McShame, obviously listening to the chicks in his household, told us never to play those tapes again. Every time someone at a town hall meeting would say that Obama's a Muslim, he would say, nah, he's a nice young fella. You don't remember any of this? I do. Blame McShame. McShame ought to leave the country for what he's done to this country. But I don't want to waste my time on John McShame. This man, if he thinks he's going to run again, he's mistaken. He'll never win. He'll get nowhere. As of this time right now, I'll tell you right now, I'm a Romney person. I'll tell you right off the bat. And there's a couple of reasons. There's areas I don't agree with him on. I'm never going to agree with everyone on everything because I'm a hardcore conservative, and there are no politicians in the mainstream who are. I understand that. I don't expect 100%, but give me an 80. Give me 80% of what I believe in. How about borders, language, and culture? I'll start with that, and we'll let the rest go. None of the others meet it. The man is a billionaire, made it on his own, made his own money. Okay? He's a family man. He's a clean family man. I don't want to waste a lot of time on this right now, but that's where I'm heading. There's not one other candidate who can defeat Obama. He's the only one, and that's why I'm going to tell you right now, we got to get started early on this. I don't even know if he's running. I haven't heard from him. He also knows the threat from the Islamo-fascist world better than anybody. Now, why are the Christians so hate Mormons? I'll never understand. I don't understand it. I'll never understand that kind of debasement of another person's religion. I think a person's religion is their business. I've said that from the beginning. I went up to Harry Reid at a boxing match in Las Vegas. I don't know, was it 2 years ago? I think it was the first Hatton fight, and he was sitting there. I had never met him. Now, here's Harry Reid on the total opposite side of the fence from Michael Savage. He didn't know me. I mean, by face, he certainly didn't know me. I saw him up in the stands, and during a break in the rounds, foolishly, I ran up like 12 flights. I was sitting three rows back from the ring. He was like 12 rows up. I think he was sitting next to a very famous man, who I'll let that one go. I know he was. And I said, Senator Reid, yes, this is Michael Savage, talk show host. He says, how do you do? And we talked, and I don't know what I said to him, something like, are you a Mormon? And his head turned. I said, well, that's very nice. I said, how many children do you have? I said, the reason I raised the issue of are you a Mormon, because I don't understand why people are attacking you for your religion. Attack him for his politics, not his religion. How come no one attacked Obama for his religious beliefs? How come that was off duty? Why is it that the very people who attacked Romney and sneered at Romney had nothing to say about Obama's years in a Muslim country, the fact that both of his fathers were Muslim? How come not one word was allowed to be said about that? Well, you know the answer to that. I think it's very dangerous to attack a candidate because of his religion. I have on my website a cartoon for you to show your children on the third down. You have to see this one. It says, why do you have that boring tattoo? Someone sent it to me this morning. It can make you cry. It shows a little cartoon kid sitting next to an old man who has numbers on his hand, and it was for the Holocaust Day. And the kid says, I've got to tell you, mister, that's an awfully boring tattoo on your arm. It's just a bunch of numbers. And the old man says, well, I was about your age when I got it, and I kept it as a reminder. The kid says, oh, a reminder of happier days? The old man looks at the kid and says, no, of a time when the world went mad. He says, imagine yourself in a land where your countrymen followed the voice of political extremists who didn't like your religion. Imagine having everything taken from you, your entire family sent to a concentration camp as slave laborers, then systematically murdered. In this place, they even take your name and replace it with a number that tattooed on your arm. It was called the Holocaust, when millions of people perished just because of their faith. The next shows a child crying. The next cartoon shows the child crying next to the man and him looking at her with the arm. So she says to him, so you kept it to remind yourself about the dangers of political extremism? And the man says, no, my dear, to remind you. No, my dear, to remind you. So when you target a person's religion, as the media did to Romney, that's the same kind of religious extremism that led to the death camps in which Jews and Catholics who stood up to Hitler were exterminated. I don't think you understand where this came from. It started with, of course, attacking the Jews. Where's it going to start here with attacking Mormons because you don't believe in their beliefs? That's really the kind of political extremism that I worry about in this country. The smart little Alex, the so-called liberals who attacked Mormon. And one in particular was the most vicious. It was one of the most facile men in the history of the American media. That softball, I can't stand him. He makes my flesh crawl. That fraud on MSLGBT. They tolerate him, the LGBT types, because he approves of their ways. But make no mistake about it, MSLGBT has become a laughingstock. And the only reason MSLGBT and NBC and CNBC are allowed to go further to the left every day supporting Obama so slavishly is because the head of General Electric, which owns all these NBC affiliates, Mr. Smelt is going to get nearly several trillion dollars in contracts around the world for General Electric in so-called clean energy, biofuels, windmills, whatever, through the Obama administration. Don't you see how money works? That's why Obama's spending $2 trillion more than the $1 trillion debt he inherited. He's spreading the money around to buy favors everywhere you turn. It's how every other dictatorship emerged. Every dictatorship on this earth that was not enacted through an act of war or an act of rebellion was enacted through money. I studied the rise of Mussolini and the rise of Hitler. They didn't just come out of nowhere. Hitler created jobs. Hitler bought his power by giving jobs to members of the Nazi Party. Not everyone loved Hitler in the beginning, but he gave them jobs. He had hope. He had hope for change.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That's enough. Knock it off, Freddie. Give him a few chips. We'll see him in a casino. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We are talking about what has Obama done that most frightens or upsets you. Now, that's because we have many Obama acolytes who listen to the show and try to call in and tell us he's not a bad guy, give him a chance. You can't give a dictator a chance. You got to point out and call out a dictator every step of the way, or you're going to wind up losing your very freedoms, in my humble opinion. So I'm asking you, what has Obama done that most upsets you or frightens you to date? I mean, I can give you a litany of things that I don't like, but I'd rather you do it. I have not, though, really lost my appetite for life yet. I mean, I don't like what I see every day. I don't like the tightening noose from the radical left going on in this country. And I know he's attacking the CIA in order to cover for the CEOs. That we discussed in the last hour. In order to cover up the CEOs' thievery, the trillions of dollars that they're robbing, he's attacking the CIA. And I analyze it as follows. Either the CIA or the NSA caught some of these CEOs and government officials like Paulson and some of the outsiders like Soros, the money changer. And it's all speculation now. in doing some things that were illegal or just on the line. And they were about to drop the hammer on it. So Soros now is telling his little puppets in the media like Puffball to demand that Bush and Cheney be indicted. Look what the CIA did, blah, 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 blah. We're better than them. We gotta show them by example. I never saw anything like this. If you don't play by the rules of the enemy, you lose. You ask any Marine what combat is like, and I'm not a combat Marine, but I know something about bad neighborhoods. If you don't play by their rules, you're going to die. Right now, Obama's having us play by rules that don't exist except in the head of college professors like Obama. And we're going to lose. Take a look at the pirates. Here we have the most powerful Navy on earth that can't fire a bullet. They don't fire a bullet. Okay, so finally, the SEALs killed three or four of the pirates. I'm surprised Attorney General Holder doesn't call the SEALs in on murder charges for killing innocent Somali teens. Because I'm sure the guys who pulled the trigger were all white men, and I'm sure all the Somalis were black. I'm sure that it's a racist incident, and it should be taken up by The Hague. But putting aside my sarcasm, why hasn't the Navy sunk these little rowboats with these vermin in them? How hard would it be to just blast them and kill them all? Let's say you don't want to bomb the villages where they come from. Okay, you don't have to kill the women and children. I get it. But they set out to sea. They're afraid to blow them out of the water. End of story. What do you mean trying them in New York? What kind of absurdity is this? Permitting the Muslim Brotherhood front men to come marching out saying he's 14, he's 16, he's a kid, he's not a man. He didn't know what he was doing. He was innocent. And making a mockery and a circus out of our laws, using our laws against us. The way democracies have fallen before is exactly this way. Weakness, weakness. But it's not a surprise. Obama blaming America. Obama going on a European tour and blaming America for everything. Obama going around saying he's going to make this country atone for the transgressions that it has committed. Obama going around and saying that he's going to release the torture memos, which he did. Again, giving the enemies a way to train for the next time they're captured. It's frightening. Now, most of the media understand what Obama's doing here, but they don't understand why. That's what sets me apart from them. That's why I don't write for the Wall Street Journal. They can only go so far. They use fancier words. I know how to use fancier words, but I don't use them. The mark of a good speaker is someone who uses the plain truth. I don't need fancy words to tell you what's really going on. The reason Obama released this missive against the CIA is to cover up the CEOs, going back to Paulson, going to Bernanke, going to Geithner, going to the current Treasury Secretary, going on and on and on. They're the ones who are pillaging America right now, right in front of our eyes. And the reason we're not hearing about it is because we're focused on the CIA. And the little people, the minions, the potheads, the perverts in the media are saying CIA, 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 instead of CEO, CEO, CEO. So Obama guaranteed that the enemies would now attack America. Then he goes to the CIA and gives a PR tour. He goes there and he tells them what a nice country we are. Tells all the people in the CIA he supports them, and he's only going to go after those who actually wrote down how to get information out of the Muslim maniacs. But it's not you regular people of the CIA who are in here now who I'm after. Your jobs are assured, particularly if you're an Arab, particularly if you're a homosexual, particularly if you're of color. Your career is assured. Don't you worry about it. Then he goes on his European tour, and he bows down to the king of Saudi Arabia, or some prince, whatever. Then he attacks Guantanamo on the tour. Then he says we're bad to the Muslim world. Then he attacks Harry Truman for dropping the atomic bomb, which ended World War II. He indicted America, in other words, around the world. Then he goes to South America, and he cavorts with a dictator, a tin pot dictator, a total and absolute dictator. He gives him a ghetto fist bang, whatever they call it. They have a wildly wonderful time, and he says, as long as we have mutual respect. Now, who would have mutual respect with a dictator other than someone who wants to accept dictatorship? That's what worries me about him. But as a writer for the Wall Street Journal said, none of this displayed during Obama's travels could have come as a surprise to legions of his supporters, nor would many of them be daunted by their new president's preoccupation with our moral failures. 5 decades of teaching in colleges and universities across the land portrayed the U.S. as a power mainly responsible for injustice and evil, whose military might was ever a danger to the world. A nation built on the fruits of greed, rapacity, and racism have had their effect. The products of this education find nothing strange in a president quick to focus on the theme of American moral failure. He may not share many of their views, but there is nonetheless much that they find familiar about him. Well, I actually think he shares those views. I think he finds America evil. I think he thinks America is greedy and racist. And I think he's trying to reshape America in a form, into a form that you will not imagine if he is not stopped. And I want to remind you that he only won by a 7% margin. That's with a doofus McShane running. That's with millions of people who voted for him who didn't even like him, but they didn't want more Bush and McCain, whatever. He was not given a mandate to introduce a far-left agenda. Nobody said we want to become a socialist nation, yet he's acting as though it's a mandate to introduce us to socialism. And he's taken us down the road so rapidly, most of you can't even follow it. And that's because of complicity in the media. That is how it's happening. And that's why I tell you, your job is to call talk shows like mine, pay very close attention to what this imposter is doing, and call him out on it. And so I ask you, what has Obama done that most frightens and upsets you? I also ask you, where is the recession in the last hour? I mean, I know that it hit somewhere. I know that tens of thousands of illegal aliens have had to go home because they can't get construction jobs and they can't send money home to Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua anymore. Well, I know that. Western Union's suffering. And the money transfer companies are suffering. That I know. Oh, yeah, the mules are not galloping as fast anymore. The northern running mules are galloping a little slower now. But where's the recession? Where is it? The movie business is doing great. They've had some record weekends with garbage that they put out, the swill they put out for 12-year-olds. Have you gone to a moving theater lately? Who goes to movie theaters? What adult who works for a living has time to come home, have dinner, do homework with children, and then let's go to a movie theater, dear. Let's get a babysitter and go to a movie theater. The only people in movie theaters are retirees and 12-year-olds who have nothing to do with themselves, who are playing hooky. So the movies are aimed at retirees and people who are like hooky players. That's not to say I don't love the cinema. I do. I watch it on television. Some of them are fabulous. And I don't care what their politics are. To me, they're all marionettes. So I don't really care what they think or do after work. I don't care if they do it with a donkey. I don't really care what they do. Doesn't matter to me. They entertain me. They're marionettes. You think I care what their politics are? They have to care what my politics are. I'm the one with the big microphone. I'm the one with the third largest radio audience in America, not them. It doesn't matter what these morons say. It matters what I say. I'm influential. I am influential. I'm changing the course of public opinion in this country, not them. They're marionettes to me. I don't care how many of them try to get into the talk business. They're not getting anywhere near it. They couldn't do this for five minutes, let alone 3 hours a day. But let's go back to Obama, blah, blah, blah. And I also want to say something else. I haven't stopped being able to enjoy myself because of Obama. I don't like what he's doing. I see what he's doing. I see where he's taking us. I think he's a horrible human being. I think he's an imposter. I think he's a danger. But I still have a good appetite. Maybe I'm eating more now that I think about it, not less. Instead of losing my appetite, my appetite's actually bigger. I actually think I'm drinking more and eating more. I look in the mirror. I'm starting to look like Robert De Niro in that movie Raging Bull in the last scenes. Now that I think, no, I am. I'm looking in the mirror saying, that can't be me. It is me. But I'm not like getting ready for a role. I mean, this is the role. But, you know, talk radio, anyone in talk radio is like an opera singer. You got to keep that furnace stoked. You got to pour that coal down that hatch. Living well is the best revenge. So I still enjoy my seafood sausage with marinara sauce. I enjoy my beer more than ever. I'm drinking beer, that's all I drink now, more than ever. It's fattening, carbo-rich, I love it. What do I care? What do you think, I'm going to worry about my abs? When they bury me, they're going to say, there lies a man with great abs? Wow, there's the epitaph on his gravestone. He had great abs. What man is obsessed with his abs but a nut? When in history has a man been concerned about his abs and his buttocks more than his soul and his mind? Other than now, I'm not saying becoming a slob. You could be strong and still have a bit of a gut on you. You ever see some fat guys that were strong underneath the fat? I learned my lesson in the fourth grade. There was a fat kid I thought I could push around. These guys are usually iron underneath that blubber. Don't make any mistakes about it. So we're all, everything's upside down here. Everything's like image and nothing is substance. That's how we wind up with the imposter Obama. I'll be back. Savage.
Didn't you say to yourself, my gosh, I'm going to get caught in this? I mean, I love this girl, I slept with her, but I didn't ask for this.
A little bit, yeah.
Was it, did you like each other right away?
We were young and we met when we were really little and went to school together and, I don't know, I always thought we'd probably get together at one point.
One thing led to another.
Yeah.
When it began to be sexual and romantic, did the Palins, that's a key question I guess everybody's asking, did the governor know?
No, I'm not sure.
Did sex occur in their house?
You know,
listening to why Obama was elected, you have an octogenarian filth bucket from Brooklyn named Larry King salivating, drooling on himself, asking some cretin, Levy Johnson, whoever that is, whether he had sex in the governor's house. Now, why is this man not removed from the media? Why do they keep an octogenarian, dirty old can like Larry King on the air? The man is a disgrace, drooling on himself. Now you understand how they get away with putting a man like Obama in the White House. You understand this? It's because of men like this, this filth bucket from Brooklyn. So you had sex in the governor's house, huh? No questions about any of the other major issues of the day. So that's the story. Now you know what's going on in the country. Torture, torture, torture. It's like living with torture in this country right now. Like tonight after the show's over. I told you there's an epitaph on someone's headstone, a friend who's stepfather on the headstone. It says, where are we eating for dinner tonight? And it's funny, I told you the story 2 Mondays ago on the air because he had told it to me on a Sunday. So I went in the air and I said, I have a friend who had a stepfather who died. And his wife, the surviving wife, put on the headstone, where are we going to dinner? So he said his mother almost turned the car over in L.A. when she heard it. She calls her son and says, my God, I heard Michael Savage. He said, Dad's epitaph, where are we going to dinner? But he got one word wrong. I said, what was that? He said, tonight. The epitaph was, where are we going to dinner tonight? Because all the man asked his entire life of marriage for 40 years was, where are we going to dinner tonight? He liked going out. He liked going out to dinner. It's amazing. So she put that on the gravestone. But I understand it. I really do. My mother was like that in the end. She was in assisted living. She couldn't go out. But you heard, if you listened to the show for 15 years, what went on this show. What she did to me between Italian and Chinese, I mean, it's unbelievable. All she did was complain about the food in the assisted living, how bad it was. You can't get good food. You can't get food. And I felt so guilty. I'm living here. She's living there. So I got guilt-tripped enough. I mean, I was supporting her. I was sending money. Don't get me wrong. I supported her for many years. But she complained about the food, always complaining about the food. So I said, Ma, can't you get the Italian restaurant near the thing to call up to deliver? They don't deliver. So I call a taxi company in Boca Raton, Florida. I reach a guy and I say to him, I got a mother, an old woman, and a thing. If I pay you, would you go to this restaurant and get her food? No, the guy was the sweetest guy in the world. He said, I'll do it for you. He didn't know me. You know, it wasn't like a radio thing. So I arranged this whole thing. I get the food delivered to her the next night, some Italian food. And then I learned the next night that restaurant delivers, that she was just yensing me. She's pulling my chain. This is unbelievable to me. It's like out of The Sopranos. You know that mother in The Sopranos, Lydia? I swear to God it was based on my mother in many ways. God rest her soul. I don't understand this. I'm not of the same heritage as the characters portrayed in that show, but I want to know, were mothers of that generation from the New York area, no matter what their race or ethnic background, were they all the same? Was there something about... How did they all get this to work their sons over like this? To make everyone around them miserable and crazy every second of the day. No matter what you did was wrong. No matter what you gave them wasn't enough. I never saw anything like this to the end. God bless her. I should live as long as she did. Buried everyone around. Was this true amongst Irish, Italian, Jews, Protestants? WASP mothers didn't do this, did they? They basically drank martinis and smiled at Christmas dinners, I imagine. On Park Avenue and had blankets on the back of their Rolls Royces on the shelf as they went to Bonwit Teller and you were making $500 a year.
Savage.
Of the United Arab Emirates, that's George Bush's good friends, shows a member of the country's royal family mercilessly torturing a man with whips, electric cattle prods, and wooden planks with protruding nails. We do not think Obama will be shocked by it, because after all, it didn't occur in America, and I guess we expect that behavior from Arabs. I don't know. How come he's not upset about that? A man in a UAE police uniform. Remember that story, UAE? Remember that little UAE, the good friends of the Bush administration? Huh? Remember that? A man in a UAE uniform, and see, they're trying to pick his arms and legs and later holding him down as the sheik pours salt on the man's wounds and then drives over him with his Mercedes SUV. But that is not torture to the ACLU. And the reason it isn't torture is it wasn't done by the CIA. If it was done by people in dirty nightshirts, it's acceptable to the ruling class of America. The incidents depicted in the videotapes are not part of a pattern of behavior. Minister Nthira said one of Sheikha, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Shows a member of the country's royal family mercilessly torturing men with whips, electric cattle prods, and wooden planks with protruding nails. We don't know who the victim is, but we know that it wasn't torture because it was done by men in dirty nightshirts who speak Arabic. Torture consists of taking a man in a dirty nightshirt and pouring buckets of water on his face and saying, what building do you intend to blow up next? 1-800-449-8255. Obama warned at Holocaust Memorial. As the president sat waiting for his turn at the podium, a series of speakers admonished him to confront Iran's government as a threat to Jews and to Israel. Never going to happen. The Jews' backs are against the wall. Now, Israel is a flawed state, as are all states. Israel has committed many injustices, as have all states. But if I had to make a choice between the Jews of Israel and their surrounding neighbors, there's no choice whatsoever. And I'll ask you liberal vermin a simple question, you rats, you dirty, degenerate liberal rats. If you had a choice of landing in Israel or any of the surrounding states without a passport, which country would you want to be landed in and be interrogated? Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon. Where would you like to be dropped, you liberal vermin, you psychopaths who are killing all of us, you lemming morons, you? So I'll take Israel. But the thing is Israel's back is to a wall, and I don't know what they're going to do. You think they're actually going to strike Iran? I don't know what to say. They've been threatening for so many years, I don't know anymore. I don't know what they're going to do. Magazine takes heat for doctoring Obama pick. Washingtonian magazine changed the color of the president's shorts and made a few other touch-ups, but media critics, so forth, calls the smaller... Why do I care about Obama with his shirt off? What do I care? What do I care he walks around with abs? That makes for a good president that he has pecs and abs? I wish he had something between his ears other than Marxism 101. Instead of working out so much, you ought to read the U.S. Constitution a little bit more. Instead of pumping iron, he ought to pump the Bill of Rights into his head. Pharmacy admits mistaken polo horse drug. You hear this story? A Florida pharmacy had told the AP it incorrectly prepared a medication for 21 polo horses that died over the weekend. What kind of medication did they give a horse? They were doping them up. There's no question that the team was going to dope up the horses to make them run better. So the pharmacist was probably an unlicensed third worlder that didn't know the difference between a gram and a milligram. That's all. Put it in. How much does it say? 31 milligrams? Put in 31 grams. What's the difference? Who knows? What's the difference? McShame's daughter attacks conservatives on Radlib Fem Show. That's Pill Jr. Pill Jr. was on the show. What a dummy. What is it, genetic in that family? Is there something genetic in the McCain family? Is there something genetic that transfers it through the generations? Did you hear a voice? It sounds like that whiny chick music in Macy's. I can't even go buy underwear anymore. I'm embarrassed. It's like going into an X-rated male porno shop, I would imagine. You ever go look at jockey shorts? I turn red-faced. I never saw anything. In my day, these were like hidden. The images of guys like this in underwear pictures, all gays. Everything, every item in a store now in Macy's and that, everything is a gay issue. Every item is there for, you think there's, how in a country of 300 million people, how many could there be gay people? How is it possible that everything is geared for the gays? Do you ever see those pictures in the front of those underwear boxes? I'm ashamed to go buy them. I won't go in there anymore. Between the Leso Femme music, whiny music, and then I go over to the underwear department, and it's like, oh, my God. It's like X-rated boxes there. Play McShane's daughter on the Rad Lib show.
It's interesting when someone like me in the Republican Party is controversial, when I believe this party was an umbrella party in the days of Goldwater and Reagan. And I really think there's this movement going on to take it back.
Good.
And I'm trying to. And God knows I'm trying to. And there are just people that are... I don't understand why you have such a problem with being an umbrella party. Why?
Perfect! Perfect, perfect cut. She started to sound like a character out of a Bollywood movie.
Hey, Mercedes! My sister has Mercedes! Why I only have Tercel? You buy me Mercedes! You come to America, you buy me Mercedes like sister! Wow, buy me Toyota! No Tercel! I mean, no one Tercel! No Lukey!
Oh, it's all in good fun. You know, I'm a big fan of the Indian people. They understand it. They're smart enough to understand the joke. It's the other people that I worry about. The people from India. How come they come over here? I've said this for years. To hear 3 months, the daughters can win a spelling bee in English. Other people could be here 300 years. They can't win a spelling bee. What is that about? How come the Indian people come here and in 3 months, the daughter wins like words with 15 syllables in it and they win a spelling bee? How is that possible? When they grew up speaking Hindi in the home country. Other people come over here, all you see is pickup trucks and trash left on the roadside. They can't speak English. They can't salute the flag. Nothing. So there's a big difference between what kind of immigrants we need. Don't think I'm opposed to people because of their skin color. I'm the least person on earth in the media who cares about that. I care most about what's in between the ears and what's in their heart. Bring them all in from India for all I can be a better country. Bring them in from India. Bring them in from Japan. There are other countries, truly, you should slam the door on. Slam the door on certain countries. They're degenerating the nation. I really never wanted to live in an Aztec village. You know, that leads me back to another. There's that book that the dictator gave to Obama where America's blank, open vein or whatever. All the libs ran out to buy it. I knew a liberal, a lying lawyer that he went to college with. His father was a crooked bum like him. Another one. He got a law degree, so he robs a little bit more illegally than his father. Oh, bum of the lowest order. Big friend of Dianne Feinstein. Not one word out of him about the corruption and the $25 billion. The minute 9/11 happened, you know what this liberal psycho did? He went out and bought a Koran the next day to better understand Muslims. You hear this? He'll understand Muslims better. So now Obama goes to South America, goes to the tin pot dictator at the meeting. They give each other the ghetto fist slam, whatever it's called. I have no idea what it means. They don't shake hands or something with a fist. I don't get it. It's actually civil in a way. That way you don't have to get anyone's germs. I actually like the Chinese method, which is you don't shake anyone's hand. You say, no, it's not in my culture. Orthodox Jews have the same thing. It's very funny. Try to shake an Orthodox Jewish woman's hand. She say, no, it's not in my culture, which is interesting. Just because a lot of guys try to crush their hands anyway. You see, men who do that to women, I don't understand that. And there were a lot of liberals from Berkeley who used to hug, like, women you were with just to feel their breasts against their stomach. Oh, I knew a creep like that. He became a doctor in order to get the drugs out of the shelf there. Another big Obama supporter. He had a big habit. He was a tall guy. He used to like, oh, hi, how are you? And he'd pull them towards him just to feel, you know what I'm saying? To get the bread. Oh, what a cheap lowlife. So he was the one who had the wife who used to change the child on a table while you were eating. Like change it, having a Chinese food. She would do a diaper change on the table. What a slob. She always was like nude. Whenever you came over the house, she always had models over, like nude models in front of the children, in front of her own son. I don't know what happened to him. I don't even want to keep up with him. I haven't seen him in 25 years. A jealous no good, Nick. But so Obama goes down there. He gives him the book, Open Vein, Open This, whatever. I don't know. Something about how we oppress the poor South Americans. He leaves out some history. In his revisionist history of the evils of colonial whites on South America, he leaves out what the Aztecs did to their wonderful citizens. He leaves out the devastation that was inflicted upon the Mayans by themselves, like cutting the hearts out of thousands of people a month and throwing them down like pyres and living like princes and kings that were stoned all day long, and the slaves were just brought in to have their hearts cut out. He leaves that little piece out. You know, the noble savage, it's been written before by these liars. The exploitation, for example, of South America began long before the United States of America. It began with De Soto, Cortez, not with Chrysler, De Soto, Cortez, and others, the conquistadores, my friends. The Spanish, the language that they speak, no less, the language of the conqueror is that of the conquistadores. Their native languages are not Spanish. So in the language of the conqueror, they put down the wrong conqueror. I don't know whether it's something in the water down there, but why would Obama take a book from them that distorts history in such a profound way? Leaves out the Aztecs, leaves out the Mayans, leaves out all of the criminal behaviors that went on in South America for eons before the Europeans arrived, who then conducted horrendous barbaric practices upon the natives of the area. But they were from Spain and Portugal. They weren't from Brooklyn and Louisiana. You understand that? They weren't white men from New York. They were Spanish, the very language that Chavez uses. The language. Doesn't he just go ahead and speak an Indian language if he hates Europeans so much? Well, why would he take that book unless he agrees with him? Well, what's the difference? I'm just going on and on with reality. What is this now? What else is on my website? McShame's daughter. I got a long run there on the... Play Bollywood music and take a break. I see Esther has Mercedes. Why not give me at least 230? I'm not asking for S550. Just give me a little 230. Sister has Mercedes. I know one Toyota. I think I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to start laughing. Just want to see 300. Not asking for 550. Buy foreclosed houses. His brother now owns two. I need foreclosed houses in Denver. On my website, by the way, there's a picture that will, I don't know, it should touch you. I doubt anything touches anyone anymore in this world. I think our hearts are cauterized from what's been going on in this country, and it's only the beginning. We're not ready for what's coming. We're not ready for what's coming in this country. We can't even imagine it because we're all spoiled. There's a picture of an old hand with a tattoo on it of numbers. And a little baby's hand touching it. I mean, it's very touching. And, it's over an Israeli flag. I'm sorry to tell you, liberals, as a Star of David. And the caption says, it is now more than 63 years after the Second World War in Europe ended. This is to remember the 6 million Jews, 20 million Russians, 10 million Christians, and 1,900 Catholic priests who were murdered, massacred, raped, burned, starved, and humiliated, with the German and Russian people looking the other way. Now more than ever with Iraq, Iran and others claiming the Holocaust to be a myth. It's imperative to make sure the world never forgets, because there are others who would like to do it again. It was received from a listener via email. I think it came out of a Russian website. In memoriam, 63 years later, go print it out and put it on your wall, along with the cartoon that I have up there. It's really amazing. This is what happens when you let racism rage in a country. This is what happens when you let a liberal establishment get out of control with their racism. Because make no mistake about it, I don't know how many different ways I have to tell it to you. Hitler was a Nazi. He was a socialist. Stalin was a socialist. Mussolini was a socialist. Nazi means national socialism, along the orders of what we are seeing emerging in this country. Certainly we don't have death camps. Not at all. Remember, great oaks from little acorns grow. You got to crawl before you can walk. You got to deceive before you can control outright. And when you have dirtbags like Larry King in the media, you can get away with virtually anything. Here was Larry King questions some, I don't know what this, I was never a fan of Palin. I got to tell you that right off the bat. Many of you didn't like me when I came out because when she was brought out by that moron, I mean, look, McCain's campaign was shafted by that guy Schmidt. That's how I saw it then. I didn't know that Schmidt was running basically the homosexual agenda as well. He's in favor of gay marriage. Now, I figured it out why they wouldn't have McShane on the show, because he was run basically from within by enemies within. I saw that from day one. But to make a long story short, how did McCain counter Obama's inexperience? McCain had experience, Obama had none. And he was winning on that, moving ahead. So how does he counter that? By undermining his very strength, by bringing in Sarah Palin, who had no experience. So they countered it in the wrong way, obviously, to undermine him. And he either didn't understand or whatever. The next day that he announces Palin, I see on TV him on the tarmac, McShane, greeting the Palin family. I said on the air, and I know many of you got mad, a lineup, they looked like they belonged on Cops, like they were the perps on Cops after being released from jail. I never saw a lineup like that. Every one of them looked like weird, like they were out of like Cops to me. And many of you got mad, all right. But that's the way I call it, like I see it. So now he has one of these people look like a perp on Cops on Larry King's show last night, and he grills him on sex in Palin's house, and he's foaming at the mouth, Larry King. Play it again.
Didn't you say to yourself, my gosh, I'm going to get caught in this? I mean, I love this girl. I slept with her, but I didn't ask for this.
A little bit, yeah.
Was it, did you like each other right away?
We were young, and we met when we were really little and went to school together, and I don't know. I always thought we'd probably get together at one point.
One thing led to another.
Yeah.
When it began to be sexual and romantic, did the Palins, that's a key question I guess everybody's asking, did the governor know?
No, I'm not sure.
Did sex occur in their house?
You know, Larry did.
All right, turn this filth bucket off, this octogenarian Brooklyn dirtbag. You know, I wrote a book, The Political Zoo, which was my fourth best-selling book in a row, and in it there were quite a few political and media characters, including Larry King, who I skewered. And as you know, I gave many of the characters animal names. So Larry King was given the Latin name Flatulus Suspenderus. And I wrote this: the three-toed hunchback double-striped sloth is an ancient nocturnal creature. Some biologists believe it dates to the Mesozoic era, that yammers incessantly with its loud, raspy voice during the early evening hours. Because this mammal is particularly unattractive and emits a sulfurous odor as a result of its propensity for garlic, the hunchback sloth spends much of its day scouring for willing females with which to propagate. Unusual among sloths, this one will mate for life innumerable times during its seemingly interminable lifespan. The hunchback sloth is known to get especially cozy with the great white Brando, but is friendly with most left coast varieties of animals. See, it was so beyond the average reader, because it had depth, nuance, real humor, as opposed to, you know, D versus R. I mean, it sold. It did hit the New York Times bestseller list. It didn't do as well as the others. The Political View was way ahead of his time. And as you can see by the election, the people saw through the Republican Party. The fake conservatives lampoon in my book had hell to pay. Limbaugh, O'Reilly, Gingrich, Giuliani, McCain and company were all given a vote of no confidence in this last election. But of course, the chief villain was Bush. He destroyed the conservative movement and the Republican Party because of his waffling, war, and weaknesses as a leader, never mind his total and absolute corruption and damage to the economy. I wrote that, by the way, before the election. The Political Zoo warns Americans not to be fooled by labels, but to study the actual policies of political animals, all of whom are known by their ability to camouflage their true intentions.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what's on my website, michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. Congress knew about the interrogations. Yes, it was not necessary to release details of the enhanced interrogation techniques. Why? Because members of Congress have been fully aware of them since the program began in 2002. So, why has this become an issue? Well, it turns out that a George Soros-funded organization, the so-called Open Society Institute, has issued an email to supporters yesterday pushing for a, quote, independent, nonpartisan investigation of, quote, torture and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment of detainees, close quote. So it's Soros again trying to undermine America again. When will this country finally arrest this piece of garbage for sedition? On the right side of MichaelSavage.com is the Clinton, Bush, Obama sellout. That's right, Clinton, Bush, Obama. Huh? I ask, how on earth did it happen that key components for one of our top military projects, the F-35, got outsourced to Turkey, a Muslim nation? Well, you'll have to go back to old Bill Clinton, follow the footprints through the Bush administration, and you'll find out just how we got to Obama. Next headline, Israel says to Obama, stop Iran or no Palestinian peace talks. All right, I've heard it before. Let's go to the bottom of MichaelSavage.com. You won't read this in your local paper because it's bad for the drug business. But a 7-year-old suicide is linked to psychiatric drugs. How many years have I warned you to not put your child on psychiatric drugs? They are poison. They are poison. They're killing your children, particularly your sons. Your sons must be protected from these gangsters with medical degrees. Medical degree, MD, must drug. MDs must drug. I've warned you about this since 1982 in my great book, Healing Children Naturally. You can only buy it on MichaelSavage.com. We've talked about the release of the memos on CIA interrogations, so-called torture, and the left's apparent uproar over our use of torture in order to save American lives. It came out today that one of the leading figures pushing for an investigation of so-called torture of terror suspects following 9/11, none other than America-hating leftist, billionaire, financier, George Soros. Did you know that? Well, joining us today is James Carafano with the Heritage Foundation, who says we should release all of the information so we can show just how effective the CIA actually has been.
Michael, it's good to be with you. It's great that you're going after this issue. This is so important because I really think that people don't know what to think. I mean, here's what we know. If you actually read the memos, here's what you find out. We didn't torture anybody. I mean, we could debate whether you like these techniques or you don't like them, but they'll be hard-pressed in a court of law to prove that this is torture, period. Then the second question is well, did it work or not? And that's where there's a lot of additional information that people want released. Vice President Cheney has said, look, why don't you just get all the information out there? And that hasn't been done. And so that's the first step. We should all take a deep breath and say, look, put all the information on the table. You know, we could have had a long discussion about whether it's good that Al-Qaeda knows this or doesn't know that. But, you know, quite frankly, they've already given away, if there's any information that Al-Qaeda could get and say, hey, look, you know, if you're going to go blow something up and you get caught, let me tell you how to, you know, beat the U.S. interrogators. We're past that. We put all that information out there. So in terms of protecting secrets, not a lot there. Now, there may be some ongoing cases or something, and that's easy to do. It's what's called redacted, is you just black out the little piece of thing that might compromise a source or a case that you're working on. But that doesn't prohibit you from kind of giving people general information. So the first thing we should do is we should put all the information on the table. I mean, if you wanted to take President Obama at his word, as he wanted to inform the American people without creating political rancor, well, then he just failed, right? Because they just released enough information to make people angry. They didn't release enough information to give people all the facts. That ought to be number one. And until that's done, you know, we ought to kind of stop all the silly things about let's investigate, let's have hearings, as if we've never investigated or have hearings on this before. We've been doing that for 7 years. So, you know, give all the people a fact. Let them take a deep breath. That's the most important thing to do. You know, one of the things that angers me gets me going the most is this thing about poor Obama administration. You know, here they are trying to look forward and move forward, and they're dragged back into the Bush era. Isn't that terrible? Well, let's be honest about this. The administration has set the tone of this debate. They've decided what information to leak it out, and they've decided how to frame it. So if anything, what they're doing is they're pulling Bush back into the debate. So they make the discussion all about the last administration and not about what they're doing. There are a lot of people who are concerned that they're taking their eye off the ball. We don't like to talk about terrorists anymore. We like to talk about man-made disasters. We don't want to focus on enforcing immigration laws anymore. You know, we want to go after drug cartels, but we don't care about border security. They're sending a lot of mixed messages out there. And I think that what's equally an interesting question to ask is not so much what the Bush administration did, but if this administration has the tools that it needs to do what the last administration did, which is to have an unblemished record from 9/11 forward on stopping terrorist attacks in the United States. You know, we know for a fact that there's been at least almost two dozen terrorist conspiracies that have been thwarted by law enforcement, where people have been arrested and taken to court. We've got the material on our website, www.heritage.org. The last time we did the study, we had 18. We got a new report coming out, says the latest count is 22. And that is just the stuff that's publicly available that you can just get from reading a newspaper or going to Google. If you want to, that's not including the stuff that's in the memos that Vice President Cheney once released, which is the classified things that have been thwarted that we don't know anything about. So I think there's no question that whatever the last administration did, it worked. And I think what's as important to discuss now is not only what they did, but what is this administration doing going forward to make sure that they stop terrorist attacks before they happen? I think that's a really important question, and I think that needs to be upfront in the debate as well. So thanks for having me. Thanks for being on this issue. You're doing the right thing, and keep talking about it.
Thanks, James. It's important to weigh all of these facts before any decision is made. Apparently, these interrogations save lives. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Heard me talk about the Bible and how our country and Western society as a whole seem to be moving away from the moral foundings that built our great civilizations. Our next guest, Kyle Ann Shiver from KyleAnnShiver.com, says that we need more God-fearing in this country. Kyle Ann, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's so sweet of you to have me on again. Really, I'm just referring to the state of mind that I suppose most people who have religion live with, this mindset that tells them at some point they will die, and when they do die, they will have to meet God, and there will be an accounting of the way I have lived my life on earth. And as far as I can tell from all the religious documents I've read, there's no group accounting. Nobody's going to be there with me to, you know, make it look better or make my life seem more than it was. I have to answer for myself. And I'm just wondering whether or not Americans have begun to believe that God is more like their therapist than the eye for an eye guy in the Bible.
You think this problem is what's going wrong with all of Western civilization? You think this is the root of it?
I would think so, yes. I mean, we've been reading for years and years how in Europe the churches are empty. They've pretty much divorced themselves from even their history of Christianity there, Christendom. And America, I don't think we're not nearly where Europe is, but we do seem to have, even though almost 90% of us still claim to be Christian and at least 2% of us say that we're Jewish, we may say that, but we're living our lives as though we do not believe the faith as it has been passed down to us. I think we've just gotten so caught up in the here and now that we forget. We're not cognizant. Maybe people who don't believe in God, maybe they're right. You know, if they are, they're safe. If they're not, they're placing their whole soul and eternal life on the line with their bet that says God isn't there. And if he is, and if he's what is described in the Bible, there are going to be a lot of people suffering very rude awakenings. And I just think society would be a lot better off if we all remembered that.
Well, why do you think there's been such a turn in the last 50 years or so?
Well, I have thought about this a lot. I'm a boomer, and I'm pretty much of a middle boomer. And I came from an atheist, very intellectualized household. But I was in the Deep South. They don't call it the Bible Belt for nothing. And so I was very surrounded by mostly Protestants, some Catholics. I'm Catholic now. But what I saw was a lot of hypocrisy on the part of people who were practicing religious, you know, rituals, going to church, reading, you know, doing all the right things, but not really living their faith. And I think a lot of the boomer generation saw that on the part of their parents' generation and rebelled against it. Now, I personally, since I have a very spiritual view of the world, I personally think that our generation was getting an awful lot of tempting and help from the spiritual enemy. But what really happened was our generation got pretty much split in two. At least half of us fired the religious revival that took place in Christianity and has fueled our part of the culture war. If it had not been for a real revival in Christianity in America, the leftist secularists who left religion or completely changed it into a if it feels good, do it kind of thing, they would have completely walked over and taken over the country by now. It was the religious revival that was fired, you know, by the boomers, of the other half of the boomers, that makes it the war. And we're really in a war. I mean, it is a war for the soul of America. If I had a chance to talk to a 20-year-old who's trying to figure out, you know, where he wants to cast his lot in life for the rest of his life, if he's trying to figure it all out, I would want to say to him that going the way of not believing in God is the riskiest thing you can possibly do with your life. Because all the risk is in that type of life. If you decide that you want to believe in God and you want to, accept what is written in the Bible, if you go that route, it is the safest, most protected way you can possibly live. You will avoid so much heartache, so much destruction in your life that you really ought to at least give it a try. That's just what I would say.
Why do you think the libs are trying to remove God?
Well, I think I'm reading right now. I'm reading a lot on that. And I just really think that comes down to they want to control. It's a power thing. I don't think that it's really, has to do with their hating religion. They just don't want religious people, I guess, to have very much of a say. And I think that's just because they want control. You can go down to, I don't know. My daughter has just graduated from college, and we have a son that's 12 years older than her, so he's been out quite a lot. So I've seen these two generations come along. And what I have noticed is that there is a lot of push on the part of, let's say, from young women who are leading a completely godless life, where they're just, you know, sleeping with just about everybody and doing whatever they want and pushing for all these different standards where they're become, it's more of a push for unisexism, I think. They really will go after a young woman who does not follow that path. It doesn't matter whether she's doing it because she's religious or whether she's doing it because she has more self-respect, but I have seen these girls attack, like almost in a pack type instinct, the woman who stands apart and says, no, I respect myself more than that, or I believe in God, I don't want to, if they really hate someone who will not follow what they're doing. And I think that's hurting this country probably more than anything else.
Do you think we have gone too soft in our beliefs?
Well, in my view, we have. I mean, I think that it is very healthy. I think our founders knew that it was very, very healthy for the vast majority of the country's citizens to have a healthy belief and fear of God that at least was strong enough to keep them from, you know, murdering and going out and committing adultery, doing all the range of things that are so harmful to society. I've long believed you simply cannot have a free society if you don't have the vast majority of your citizens keyed into an individual conscience that keeps their behavior in line with something that is good for everyone, because you can't make enough laws. That's why every society that doesn't have strong religious foundation, strong fear of God, strong belief that you're going to have to account for your life on earth, turns to tyranny, because democracy cannot exist without strong religion in the members.
Kyle Ann, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
With the government taking over our financial industries, it seems like less capitalism and more socialism every day. Seems that the Obama administration not only has the media train, but now big business too. Well, joining us to talk about this is Wayne Allen Root from RootForAmerica.com.
Thank you, Michael Savage. Hey, capitalism has worked pretty darn well for 200-plus years now, with just a couple of off years in the middle. But one of those off years has been the last year, unfortunately. And this short-term blip has been a disaster for capitalism. Now, I think it's been caused by meddling government bureaucrats and corruption and conflicts of interest by leftist politicians like Chris Dodd and Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi, and the latest scandal of the day involving California Senator Dianne Feinstein. But we'll get back to that later. Right now, let's deal with the disaster at hand, because the real disaster here isn't our economic Armageddon. Because as bad as things are, and I think they're getting worse, perhaps far worse, we were always going to recover, because capitalism always recovers. Because of capitalism, because of free markets, because of personal responsibility, because of self-reliance and rugged individualism and limited government, those are the attributes and principles that have made America the greatest country in world history and have made capitalism the greatest economic system ever. But the real disaster is that we may not have capitalism anymore. Obama is trying to use this crisis as an opportunity to kill capitalism, to put American CEOs on a leash like his new puppy Bo, to neuter the opposition like his new puppy Bo, to force CEOs to beg for help like, well, you get the idea, like Bo, to force the most powerful captains of industry to obey him like a dog. The new White House puppy, Bo, is now the role model for Obama's business plan. He's going to hijack business and take control of America's economy because of this crisis. In the old days, meaning a few months ago, when capitalism was working well, Obama couldn't order CEOs around. the captains of Wall Street and banking would have told him to shove off. But here's the problem. The last year has been the worst year in the history of big business, as reported only days ago by Fortune magazine. The worst ever. Wall Street is failing. Banks are failing. Public companies are failing. The big three automakers are drowning. Big insurance companies like AIG failing and flailing. And media companies are failing left and right. And this was the perfect opening for the socialists.
Mm-hmm.
If you want his bailout money, keep in mind his money, of course, is our taxpayer money. But he's in control of it, so Obama doles it out only to whom he wants, only to those that play ball and play by his rules. Obama is now the boss of bosses, the capo di tutti capi, as we say in New York when discussing John Gotti and organized crime. Obama is the godfather. He now orders CEOs around like Bo the puppy. They've all been fixed. Dissent is verboten. Obama says sit and they sit, stay and they stay. Quiet, and they shut their mouths. Fetch, and they run for the ball. Obama says jump, and the CEOs say how high. If you run an auto company and you want bailout money, you've got to use it according to Obama's rules. You've got to prop up the bloated union contracts that bankrupted your company in the first place. You've got to limit the salaries of your executives, even if it means Obama will fire all the best executives and choose the worst ones willing to work for less pay. You've got to cancel your SUVs, even if they're the best-selling product line you've got, like, say, Jeep Cherokee. And you've got to build only small green cars approved by Barack Obama and his friends. You either do what Obama says, or you're fired, or your company fails. But either way, you're jobless. You get to join the long unemployment line. If you run a bank, you either loan to Obama's friends or to green projects, meaning environmental friendly or politically correct, even if they make no economic sense at all, or you loan mortgage money to low-income or minority applicants, friends of Acorn, or it's curtains for you. You're fired, there's no bailout, the banks are gone, and you're jobless. Either way, you join the unemployment line. If you're a real estate developer, a home builder, you either build green projects with your partner being Obama's hand-chosen friends, or you build in low-income neighborhoods that Obama approves of. Whether the plan makes any economic sense, well, that doesn't really matter. You got to do what Obama says. He's the boss of bosses. The answer is always yes, or you get to fall on your sword.
Exactly.
And by the way, how on earth would Obama know if a project or a loan makes economic sense? He's never taken an economics course in his life, I should know. I'm his Columbia College classmate, class of 1983. He's never founded a business. He's never funded a business. He's never run a business. He's never risked a dime of his own money on a business. He's never created a job in his life. He wouldn't have to turn a profit if it hit him in the face. But here's the worst part of all of this. The media. See, it's one thing to control banks, Wall Street, automakers, real estate tycoons. But how about newspapers, TV stations, and radio stations? They're going under left and right. They can't survive without government loans. So now even the news is corrupted. The liberal media was always biased to the left, but at least they pretended they had some non-bias. They could hide their liberal bias just to pretend, you know? But not anymore. Take GE, which owns NBC and MSNBC and CNBC. The CEO is Jeffrey Immelt. And NBC has a CEO named Jeffrey Zucker. These two wimps are so mesmerized by Obama's spell that they think he walks on water. Zucker and Immelt reportedly threw a party for CNBC's brass and journalists last week, the top brass at CNBC. And once there, they dropped the hint. Dissent is not allowed. Lay off Obama. Criticism is not appreciated or wanted. Get the hint? CNBC reporters and anchors are now neutered like Bo the puppy. Just like their bosses, Immelt and Zucker. Neutered. Gone. Zero. It's all over. MSNBC certainly got the memo. Janine Garofalo was a guest last week, the day after the tea parties, and on an MSNBC talk show, she called all the tea party attendees, the protesters, white, redneck racists.
Unbelievable.
She said everyone at those tea parties was ignorant, knows nothing about the Boston Tea Party, and they all hate Obama. And she says, you know why they hate Obama? Because he's black. You know, no response from the MSNBC host, no question, no comment, no debate, no dissent. How is this all possible? Forget the puppy bow. If the media was honest, they'd show Obama walking Jeffrey Immelt and Jeffrey Zucker on a leash on the White House lawn. Because Jeffrey Immelt is a good, well-behaved puppy, he was actually rewarded recently. Obama named him to the White House Economic Recovery Team. Can you imagine? Since Immelt joined GE, their market cap is down as much as 80%. He's effectively destroyed GE. NBC, even worse. The ratings in the toilet, the revenues in the toilet. Great business leaders these guys are, huh? And yet Obama names them to the Economic Recovery Team. Only someone with zero business experience like Obama. But here's the big question. Why are we abandoning capitalism after two bad years in the last century, 1929 and 2008, and putting government in charge? Government loses money every department, every second of every day. It's magical. Only people who couldn't get a job in the private sector could even manage this feat. Go ahead. Name a year in history that government has ever succeeded in making a profit. You can't. Not only because it's never happened, but because it isn't possible. You see, government isn't in business. They're set up to tax. That's it. They tax the people that are in business. Then they spend all the money, plus, about 25% more. Then they raise taxes again. Then they run an even bigger deficit. Then they raise taxes even higher on the next sucker. You know what you call this in the real world? A Ponzi scheme. What a racket. Bernie Madoff looks like a piker next to government. The mafia has nothing on these guys. One big Ponzi scheme, all run by Barack Obama, a guy who has never successfully run a bodega, a pet store, or a hair salon. So before you give up on capitalism, just remember who's running the show. The boss of bosses, the capo di tutti, is Barack Obama and big government bureaucrats. People who have never in their entire lives earned a profit. Not once, not for a minute, not a penny. This is the guy ordering CEOs around like the hired help. This is the guy neutering CEOs like Bo the puppy. Can't you hear Obama in the halls of NBC? Jeffrey, take out the trash.
Wayne, as I've said before, Obama has never even run a hot dog stand, but now he's trying to run the banks. But enough of this Chairman Obama. The accidental president. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You have a puppet of George Soros, the billionaire who's manipulated world currencies for many, many decades, who has put his puppet in office. So he spends a fortune now sending out memos to little men in the media like Puffball and the others, fakers, one faker after another, and they jump to his tune and they say, yeah,
we want full disclosure. We want Bush and Cheney. We want them tortured. Oh, we want them waterboarded. Damn it, poor innocent Muslims. They tortured the Muslims. Tortured the Muslims. Protect the Muslims.
Now, why would Soros have his puppet release methods of interrogating vermin like this when only three or four of them were waterboarded, by the way, and one of them, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, gave up his ideas for crashing planes into towers in Los Angeles? How come that's not discussed? So think about it, boys and girls. Why would George Soros, money manipulator, money changer in the temple of democracy, why would he want America's media to focus on the CIA instead of on the CEOs? Why would Soros want the CIA running defensively instead of exposing the CEOs? Well, boys and girls, I'll give you the answer to this seminar question right now. It's because Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary, Geithner, the current Boy Scouter, knows nothing, this new little puppet, and all of the others answer to him. They answer to him because they all answer to the money, nothing else. Since he is one of the richest men in the world, and he lives on insider information, in my opinion, How else to get insider information than through the people who run the U.S. Treasury? So how do you get someone into the U.S. Treasury? You put them there, and then you have them do things like this. So now, instead of having the country focused on Paulson and Geithner and Bernanke and the other jerks in the Federal Reserve and the Obama administration, you focus on the CIA and what they did to protect America and twist it and pervert it into saying that what they did was illegal, immoral, and fattening. Now you go to the next level of discussion on this. This is all opinion, by the way. This is just one man's opinion. Just telling you what I think. There is only one way for the CIA to come out of this and to protect themselves and us. And I know they're listening to the show. They better be listening to the show. There better be a few operatives in the CIA listening to my show, because I can outthink most of you. I can say that again. I can outthink most of you because I'm not bound by your rules of what you're allowed to think and not think. There's only one way for you to save yourself and save the agency that we all need. And that is to investigate Soros. Now, I'm going to go to the next step. My suspicion is that the NSA caught Soros in some conversations, or the CIA caught Soros or the other money men in conversations. And they are now attacking the CIA in order to get them off their back. This is a political battle going on. It's a battle for the life of America. Everything is at stake. If the CIA falls, the nation falls with it. If the CEOs who are robbing America are put in orange jumpsuits, America is saved. If the money changer Soros is finally trapped in one of his manipulations, America is better, not worse for it. And so therefore I go back. Why is this administration, the puppet Obama, attacking the CIA, not the CEOs? Answer: because the CEOs owe him, and he owes them, an awful lot. In other words, he owes the CEOs. He doesn't owe the CIA. Let's put it to you that way. And I say there's another subtext that I think is possible, and that is that the CIA or the NSA on some intercepts caught Soros and or Paulson and or some of the mega billionaires of this world manipulating this country, manipulating the banks, manipulating the financial systems, and they have told them that they're going to pull the hammer on them, and they're fighting back by going after the CIA and trying to get the people of the CIA, mainly Bush and Cheney and the others, in trouble in order to get them off the track of the CEOs and the money manipulators who have done this to us. You understand that? Make no mistake about it. When you see $2 trillion written off for programs that don't exist, when you see Dianne Feinstein, a U.S. senator, taking $50 billion of your money in a time of recession and assigning it to the FDIC just about the same time that her husband, Richard Blum, and his real estate firm get a contract to sell foreclosed properties from the FDIC, and not one word of it is heard about in the media outside of a few talk radio outlets which they want to close down, then you understand where the truth lies. So I'll let you decide for yourself. I'll let you decide for yourself. You make the decision. Luckily, I have no power. Luckily, I am unknown. Luckily, I am the Sami Sat of the United States of America today. I am the underground press. I am the underground press in America. There is no other underground press in the radio media. There's plenty of it in the internet, thank God. There's plenty of it in the internet, thank God. That's the underground press of the Soviet era, where they can say things quietly and secretly. But in radio, I want you to understand something. My show is the third largest in the country. I am not syndicated by any of the major corporate entities, thank God. The others are. And those corporate entities are bankrupt, incidentally. It's only a matter of time until they fall. My syndicator is an independent operator who does not answer to anyone but the marketplace. Do you understand why I am never seen on television? Do you understand why I'm never referred to in any of the print media? I don't need them. They need me. Make no mistake about it. I'll be around here long after they are. New York City, WOR. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Michael, I was just getting ready to call to criticize, but you kind of rescinded your earlier comments. And Obama.
Wait. What do you mean? Rescinded what comments?
Well, you were blowing off the whole Somalia deal, with rescuing Captain Phillips like it was no big deal, and you just came back on the...
Well, wait, I never blew it off. You weren't hearing. I didn't say it was nothing. I said it was not a great military coup.
But you're dismissing the fact that he passed his first international crisis. This was an international
crisis. No, you're wrong, Steve. This was not his first international crisis. His first international crisis was Iran announcing they can make a nuclear weapon. His second international crisis was North Korea launching a missile.
He's been in office, 90 days?
Oh, wait, now you're backing up. You're not denying those two events occurred, are you?
No, they did occur, but I mean, a lot
Well, thank you. So don't tell me that this was Obama's first military crisis, a first international crisis. Kim Jong-il has been threatening to fire a rocket for months. In fact, Obama sent a warship off the coast of North Korea. North Korea said they blow it out of the water. Kim Jong-il fired the rocket, and we did nothing. It was an embarrassment, Steve.
No, it wasn't. They set up a broken rocket that landed instantly in the Pacific.
Now you know you have no credibility at all. You can't have it both ways. Let's not turn Obama into George Washington all of a sudden.
The fact is, this was the first identifiable crisis that he faced.
You are wrong. You're dissembling reality. Iran saying they have enough centrifuges to build a nuclear bomb. Would you call that a crisis?
Those centrifuges were built over years in the Bush administration. In 60.
Well, hold on. Wait. You know, you're really reaching right now. It doesn't matter when they were built. They were completed under Obama. Obama did nothing. Kim Jong-il launched the rocket. Did he not launch a rocket? Yes or no?
Yes, and it landed harmless.
Could we have shot the rocket down?
And what good of that would have done?
Could we have blown up the launch pad before the rocket was fired? To say to that psychopath, you're never going to threaten America. You're never going to threaten Alaska. What are you talking about?
Michael, we're involved.
Listen, you're a worshiper. And to a worshiper like you, your hero can do no wrong. And that's very dangerous. Thanks for the call. I don't like worshipers. Okay, I don't like worshipers. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.